In Conway, on June 27th of this year, they had the first annual gay parade. Interestingly, it was on one of the main streets in the downtown area, right across from one of the larger Churches of Christ there. They have a big two-story house. They've painted up with the rainbow colors and things like that. And they began at that particular place and they marched down the street. What we normally think about as being in places like California or New York or some other big city, it's right there in our hometowns now. What used to be in the closet and quiet is now fully and clearly out of the closet. There were about 65 persons from throughout Arkansas that came into Conway to march. And they said there were about 65, and interestingly, the newspaper reported there were about 65 protesters that lined the streets, most of them from out of town. What the newspaper did not report is that there were well over hundreds of people that had went to various churches in the city to pray about and to protest the gay march in Conway. And so by far the majority of the people in Conway did protest against it. But I found it interesting that I believe it was the Friday or maybe the Thursday before on the Little Rock News, they had an interview with one of the organizers of this gay march. In fact, he was one of the men that live in this particular house that I was talking about. And he was talking about the fact that the purpose of the parade was to promote tolerance. And it was interesting that as you think about that, and I think anybody that has seriously looked at that particular topic, know that they want to receive tolerance, but in no way do they want to tolerate anybody that believes or may oppose them, that believe in the Bible or may oppose them. Amen. Now, you might be surprised, but I too believe in gay rights. I believe that homosexuals have the right to hear the gospel. I believe that homosexuality and those that are engaged in that sin have a right and be given the opportunity to make some changes, to repent. I believe that homosexuals have the right to hear and obey what God has proclaimed through His Word in order to receive the forgiveness of their sins and in order to contact that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Homosexuals have the God-given right to choose to obey or to choose to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. I do not believe in gay bashing. I believe, and I really honestly, sincerely want, if there's someone listening to this that may be practicing homosexuality, I truly do want you to repent. I honestly care about you and honestly want you to change. And so I don't believe in gay bashing and refuse to do so. The such like is simply ungodly and is not Christ-like. We need to sow the seed of the kingdom, as Jay clearly pointed out. And a part of that key, seed of the kingdom, so letting folks know that fornicators and adulterers, God will judge, and they must repent in order to be saved. Along with other moral issues, this has plagued our nation. And we know from Proverbs 14 and verse 34 that righteousness exalteth the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And we know that homosexuality is a plague to our nation and it's going to cause our nation to fall. It is a characteristic of a falling nation, not a rising nation. Now with these thoughts in mind, consider these points. Now we're going to look at homosexuality against nature, homosexuality against reason, and we're going to look at then finally homosexuality against God's Word. Homosexuality is against nature. When God created the world, He created man, male and female. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And just like the little thing that I don't know who came up with it, but it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Madam and Eve, but it was Adam and Eve. And associated with this fact, God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Genesis 2 and verse 24. However, homosexuality is against the natural order that God had created. L.L. Wilburn said this, "When human beings engage in homosexual activity, they act out of the rejection of the Creator's design." And amen. In reference to Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and following, Charles Brown said, "Homosexual acts are said to change the natural use into that which is against nature. Heterosexual relationships are natural. Homosexual relationships are unnatural. Perverted actions resulted when men left the natural use of the woman and burned to the lust toward one another." Homosexual activist groups, however, say that to justify and to get us to think that it is a natural thing, they say that 10% of the population is homosexual. Well, that's interesting, because what they say is really not the facts of the matter. In a study of the University of Chicago a number of years back, they found that only 2% of men and 0.9% of women are actually homosexual. The Wall Street Journal reported that less than 1% of the population of Europe and North America are homosexual. In another study, the results of this investigation of Science, the magazine, indicated that 4.1% of men and 2.6% of women had ever had homosexual intercourse. Now, the difference in that last study is this. The last study included people that may have experimented with homosexuality, may have been raped, may have been forced by peer pressure or something like that into the homosexual act. And so the last one aren't practicing homosexuals, but may have, you know, experienced it one time in their lifetime. The homosexual response is this. To combat these statistics, they say, "Well, you know, there are animals that engage in homosexual activity." But one report said this, and I quote, "There is no homosexual instinct in animals. It is poor science to read human motivations and sentiments into animal behavior, and irrational animal behavior is not the yardstick to determine what is morally acceptable behavior to rational men." And also, sometimes you hear about the so-called gay gene. Now, I think anybody with a half a sense can figure this out. Now, you take a gay gene, what's going to happen to the next generation? Men with men cannot reproduce. What's going to happen to that gay gene? Women with women cannot reproduce. What's going to happen to that gay gene? How can it be passed down if they cannot reproduce? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so there's no such thing as the gay gene. How could sexual orientation change if there was a gay gene? You see, it's been proven numerous times by study that homosexuals can change their sexual orientation. And how could that be if there was a gay gene? And the fact is, though, by the most recent research, and I've read numerous articles on this particular thing, and by the way, Reason and Revelation just recently came out with an article on this particular thing, and the fact is, there's no evidence for the gay gene. None whatsoever. And so the gay gene simply is not. But furthermore, homosexuality is against reason. You've heard the old comic I believe it was Abbott and Costello did it. And the patient would come to the doctor and he would say, "It hurts when I do this." And the doctor said, "Well, then stop doing that." Well, really, that's what homosexuals need to apply to themselves. They need to simply stop doing it because it is disastrous as far as their physical life is concerned, as far as emotions is concerned, as far as their spiritual life is concerned. It is absolutely disastrous. With the various illnesses associated with homosexuality, it destroys the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual aspects of man. So the solution is stop. It's just that simple. Stop. However, homosexuals do not listen. One person reported, and I quote, "Knowledge of health guidelines was quite high, but this knowledge had no relationship to sexual behavior." This was a study of San Francisco and a study of homosexuals in San Francisco. And the study found that the gays there, or the homosexuals there, knew the risks, but they just kept practicing their homosexuality. Homosexuality is brutal. I have a lot of statistics to look at, and I want to relate. And I know that sometimes statistics can be boring, but I think there are very important statistics. 65% of all reported AIDS cases in the United States since 1981 have been men engaged in homosexual behavior. And 78% of homosexuals are affected with some type of STD, sexually transmitted disease. 50% of suicides can be attributed to homosexuality. 50%. Homosexuals are 100 times more likely to be murdered. 100 times more likely to be murdered. And then people say, it's just an innocent lifestyle. It is not an innocent lifestyle. The median age of death for homosexuals. The median age of death for homosexual men is 42. And only 9% live past the age of 65. The median age of heterosexual men is 75, according to statistics. And this drops down to age 39 if the cause of death is AIDS. The median age of death of lesbians is 45. And only 24% live past the age of 65. And the median age of death of heterosexual women is 79. It is not. Homosexuality is not an innocent lifestyle. Not only is it brutal to self, but it is also brutal to others. Associated with homosexuality is extreme promiscuity. Do you know that 43% of homosexuals admit to having over 500 partners in their lifetime? 28% admit to having over 1,000 partners a lifetime. Do you know that 79% say that half of those partners are total strangers? 79%. And that 70% are one-night stands. And 41% say that they had strangers. Now this will give you a total different perspective of public restrooms. 41% admit to having sexual relationships in public bathrooms, public restrooms. 60% say they've had homosexual relationships in bathhouses. It is not an innocent lifestyle. And of course, you would expect that illegal drugs would be associated with that. 25 to 33% admit that they are that illegal drugs were part of their lives, and 64% admit to being alcoholics. Not an innocent lifestyle. And associated with the gay parade in Conway was the distribution of porn. Two public figures from Little Rock, radio personalities, were arrested in Conway, and trials have been in the process of being tried. And they were arrested because of the distribution of porn. Judge John Martu, chief magistrate of the New York Criminal Court, said homosexuals account for half the murders in large cities. And violence is, of course, associated with it as well. I read an article in Newsweek a number of years ago, and it was about a lesbian couple in California, in the San Diego area, and that lesbian couple, one of them had been murdered by her lesbian lover. And in that article, of course, they were trying to say, you know, make awareness of the fact that this is a problem among them, and certainly it is. And in that article, it said that 50% of the calls to the gay bashing hotline involved homosexuals bashing homosexuals. It's not an innocent lifestyle. Sadomasochism is a part of it as well. 37% engaged in sadomasochism. And in San Francisco one year, there were actually classes held for homosexuals, and get this, to teach them how not to kill their partners during sadomasochism. Normal activity? I don't think so. Innocent lifestyle? I don't think so. But you know, when I read those things, it was alarming. I have to admit it. I couldn't believe it. I knew that there were some things associated with homosexuality, but I did not know to that degree that it was associated with it. But that wasn't the most alarming part of it. Pedophilia is the most alarming. 73% of male homosexuals had sex with boys under the age of 19. 73%. Now, these are the ones that admit it. No telling how many more might have had it and not admitted it. 73%. Captain William Riddle of Los Angeles Police said 30,000 sexually abused children in Los Angeles were victims of homosexuals that year. Homosexuals commit more than 33% of all reported child molestations in the United States. And in fact, one out of every 20 homosexuals is a child molester. A Canadian report found that 91% of molestations that were not associated with the family, 91%, as they say, familiar molestations, were committed by homosexuals. There is a homosexual activist group. If you've seen on the news the photos that they have of the homosexuals parade and so forth and so on, you've probably seen signs that said NAMBLA, N-A-M-B-L-A. And one of their slogans is, sex before eight, before it's too late. Innocent lifestyle? I don't think so. It is not an innocent lifestyle. Why take the chance? Homosexuality is not harmless. Why would anyone ignore reason to participate in such wickedness? You know, I've tried to illustrate it this way. If you have three glasses of water here and you put poison in one, how many of you would drink, just take one of those glasses? Probably none of us. But then someone would say, well, if I was really thirsty, then I might take my chances. But here's the difference in that. Man requires water. And I suppose that if we got thirsty enough, we might just take that chance. But You don't have to have homosexuality to live. I don't believe that a logical, thinking, reasonable person would engage in trying to take one glass, one out of three, and drink. But yet, the odds are much more against them than that, and yet they engage. Homosexuality is against reason. But most importantly, homosexuality is against Scripture, is against God's will. In all periods of Bible history, homosexuality has been an abomination before God. God has revealed His displeasure of homosexuality. In the patriarchal era, there was the incident of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Sodomites wanted to know Lot's guests, who were angels, of course, Genesis chapter 19. And in fact, it tells us the extent that they went to in order to engage. It says that all came out to Lot's house, young and old. It says that all the people from every quarter came. Well, Jude had something to say about this. In Jude verse 7, he says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, and are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." And Peter also said something about this. In 2 Peter chapter 6 and verse, or chapter 2 verse 6, he says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them ensamples unto those that should live ungodly." And so these two verses then are inspired commentaries of the incident at Sodom and Gomorrah. During the patriarchal age, God was displeased with them because of their homosexuality. It is true also in the Mosaic age. God clearly revealed His will. In Leviticus 18 and verse 22, Moses recorded, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." In Leviticus 20 and verse 13, God said, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination." Now notice, in the Mosaic time period, it was capital punishment against them. And the Bible goes on to say in that verse, Leviticus 20 and verse 13, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God was serious about this under the patriarchal and the Mosaic dispensation. But the same is true in the New Testament age as well. In Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 24 and reading on through verse 27, listen to what Paul says. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. "Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned to the lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Now notice this in this text. He's telling us because of their rejection of God, they deviated themselves to that extent. It all is a result of their rejection of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 8 and reading through verse 10. Now notice this. As we begin reading this particular passage, 1 Timothy 1 verses 8 through 10, notice the associations found in this passage concerning the homosexual. He says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous, for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And so among them then were those that defile themselves with mankind. Those are the homosexuals. And finally in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, Paul gave us a list of the unrighteous. And among the unrighteous he included the homosexuals. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." From these three passages, we find then that there are two words, basically, that describe homosexuality. The first word is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, and also 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. In the 1 Corinthians 6 verse 10, the word is translated simply as abusers of themselves with mankind. In the 1 Timothy passage, chapter 1 verse 10, he translates it, them that defile themselves with mankind. The analytical Greek lexicon defines the word as one that lies with mankind, a sodomite. Thayer says, one who lies with a male as with female, a sodomite. And so very clearly, this particular word does refer to homosexuals. Interestingly, those who try to use the Bible and twist it to justify their deviant lifestyle sometimes say that the word homosexual is not found within Scripture. Well, that's really not true. The way we use the word homosexual is a good translation of that particular word. It is talking about the homosexual. It is talking about the sodomite. It is actually a compound word meaning a male and a bed. So you can imagine what the word is really about. Talking about men in bed together. The second word is translated effeminate in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. The analytical Greek lexicon says, soft, soft to the touch, delicate, as instruments of a natural lust, effeminate. Now this particular word does not mean that all homosexuals are effeminate in manner. Because quite clearly they are not all effeminate in manner. But what it's talking about is that they use their bodies in effeminate ways. That's what it's really dealing with. And so, again, homosexual are clearly condemned within Scripture. Other words that include the idea of homosexuality would, of course, be fornication. As all of us probably here, at least, know that the word fornication is a very broad word that means all types of sexual immorality. Would include such things of adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, premarital sex, promiscuity, and all kinds of other things that would be included in that particular word. Really includes the idea of anything that's unlawful sexual intercourse, and obviously homosexuality would be a part of that. And also Paul used the word uncleanness with reference to homosexuality in Romans chapter 1. The Gentiles of Rome were in part guilty of uncleanness through homosexuality. Though in the past, some homosexuals have tried to use the Bible to justify their deviant lifestyle, but God has made it perfectly clear, and unmistakably clear, that homosexuality is immoral and an abomination to Him. Homosexuality is not associated with an emerging society, as we mentioned earlier, but with declining society. Again, in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any man, any person. In America in the past, homosexuals were in the closet, but have now come out of the closet, or some have come out of the closet, many have, and are parading themselves within our streets. Interesting, they dress up, put all kinds of makeup and clown stuff type things on, dress up in various odd and weird ways, but they are parading themselves through our streets. In Conway, as they paraded themselves through our streets, they had signs that God loves me. And the protesters often had signs that said, God loves you. And though I don't think they really understand that, but God does love them. He loves them, and He wants them to repent. He loves them, and He wants them to change. He loves them, but He wants them to hear the gospel and obey it. Not only have they come out of the closet, they are a militant force for evil, demanding acceptance by society. And interestingly, in the article I mentioned earlier, it says that they've been very hesitant, the liberal news media has been hesitant about reporting gay bashing among gays. And the reason why, and I quote, this has been called the second closet, talking about the domestic violence in lesbian as well as gay relationships, has long been considered taboo in these communities, lest their discussion spark more hemophilia in society. And so they have become a militant force in our society. And too many today portray those opposed to homosexuals as hemophilic. They portray them as intolerant. They portray them as bigoted. While homosexuals then are portrayed as the victims who are disadvantaged. The victims who are oppressed. But I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah wrote, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What Paul, or what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 still is applicable. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Homosexuals are among the list that he's talking about there, as whoremongers and adulterers. Homosexuality, by the way, is not a greater sin. I think sometimes we get in our minds that, well, you know, this homosexual, and we're kind of standoffish about them, and, you know, they're so terrible and so terribly bad. And then we take someone that, as Brother Robert Taylor said the other night, who is engaged in polygamy, not at the same time, but in succession, one wife after the other, or one husband after the other, and we think, well, that's just natural. Well, it's not. And one is just as bad as the other, and both need to be repented of. Homosexuality is not the greater sin. Yes, it is sin, but it's not the greater sin. And it's not the greater sin without pardon. And sometimes we almost think in the church, and we think that, you know, here's this gay person, they cannot receive pardon from God, but they can if they will obey. If they will hear the gospel. It is no worse than any other kind of fornication. In my judgment, that homosexuality is really an intense desire to fulfill passions that they have within themselves concerning the sexual aspect of man. So oftentimes people will want to fulfill that desire, and so they'll go out and will have sex with different other mates of the other opposite sex. And they're looking for some way to fulfill themselves, some way to get a greater high, some way to intensify this desire and this lust. And so they continue to merge and add to that different types of sexual behavior. And ultimately, then, it leads to different kinds of homosexual behavior. But like all lusts, it must be brought back into control. And it can be brought back into control. And forgiveness then awaits those who will bring it into control, who will turn from their sin in obedience to God. Now, I've saved 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 11 for the end, because I didn't read the whole passage. Now I want to emphasize what the whole passage says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Forgiveness awaits. To those that are on the internet that might be listening to that, let us know how we can help you. We'd like to help you come out of your sinful state. And to those that may be here, let us know. I think most of us that are here have definite convictions about this. But there may be someone that needs help. We want to help.